coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I've been on Daniel Jones in a negative way since the day he got drafted, then had to eat crow when Daniel Jones had the best game of his life against the Minnesota Vikings in that playoff game in Minnesota, and the defense was so bad, and I was screaming about it, and it's a long history with me and Daniel Jones and the Giants and everything else. And of course, he comes back last year, doesn't play well, gets hurt, and now you've got this situation where the Giants clearly and on national television tried to replace him in the draft but couldn't do it, and he has an out at the end of this year, and he's basically playing once again with a guillotine over his head. However, I'm going to defend him here, and I want to see if you agree with me or not. There have been multiple reports from beat writers, so many so that it almost feels like it's a work in some sort of way, that he has been miserable in camp, that he's overthrowing guys, underthrowing guys, throwing interceptions, just doesn't look right at all. Now, a couple of things. One, we heard 2 years ago, before he got the contract, when he had that the best season of his career, how bad he looked in camp, and the offense was terrible. And then we found out that Brian Daboll was essentially putting him in situations where he couldn't succeed just to test his mettle and his mental toughness. So let's not forget about that, because that might be going on as well. Also, we're talking about Daniel Jones coming off a massive, massive injury, coming back, getting acclimated in practice. Like, find me the guy, like, I bet you there are plenty of quarterbacks that have a better reputation and better career so far than Daniel Jones that don't look great every single snap in practice. It's just not reported on in that way because Daniel Jones is under a microscope, and I get that he should be. But let's chill out about how terrible he looks in practice and training camp and give the guy an opportunity to show us in games that count whether or not he's going to be here in the future.
You know, the interesting thing is neither one of these quarterbacks that are playing for the local pro teams are a year removed from their injury just yet.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Right,
so they are, their bodies are still getting used to what they had to go through, all the rehab that they had to go through. And, you know, for a knee injury as significant as Daniel's was, it's normally a year and a half. You know, for a running back, sometimes it's 2 years.
Right.
Wide receiver, 2 years. I mean, very few guys come back, you know, 6 months after the injury or 8 months after the injury and are going to be 100%. They got to play through it. They got to get, their body's got to get back into, you know, the mix and understand, like, what it takes to throw the ball and how to use your feet. I mean, that's why as quarterbacks, we do all these fundamentals that have to do with footwork. And Daniel's kind of coming back off of this injury. So I don't really make much out of it, Gio, to be honest with you. I think it's just more fodder because of who he is, what he's been through, and the fact that the Giants are putting a lot of pressure on him. I think a lot of this is also, again, to test his mettle and to push him and to begin, and to make, you know, it's okay to yell at your coach.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just got to take ownership in your team. You're going to tell me that Josh Allen has never talked back to Sean McDermott? You're going to tell me that Tom Brady never screamed at Bill Belichick? I mean, of course they did. You know what? If you are really, truly confident in who you are and how to run your offense, and a coach makes a mistake, you know, in the middle of a game, calls a wrong play, a wrong formation, or why did you call that play when you did not run that by me, you know, prior to calling that play or the last time I was on the sideline, and you put me in a bad spot, or this person is not, you know, coached up enough, he doesn't know what he's doing on the field, you know, that's on your ass.
Right.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with the quarterback being able to say that. Now, again, between the injuries, the inconsistent play, all the things that were said about Daniel last year from Joe Buck to Rich Eisen to everybody else in between, there isn't a guy under more of a microscope than he is. Maybe Derek Carr down in New Orleans, I don't know. But this is like a huge microscope that is, you could say it's fairly or unfairly. I think this particular story is unfair.
Yeah, well, with Daniel Jones struggling in camp.
Practice,
and coming off a massive injury. Now, we know Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. That's also a microscope situation. And it's another one of these things that I don't know if it really matters or not, but it's just, it truly is mind-numbing and fascinating, too, in a way, to hear Aaron Rodgers say that he found out that he wasn't playing at all in the first two preseason games from Eric Gelfand, the VP of media for the Jets, sending him an article about Rob Saleh talking about it. Like, and I know that Aaron is out there and he's going to say different things, and you got to take grain of salt sometimes.
Yeah.
But I believe him that this happened. And Aaron Rodgers has now been here for, you know, and I understand he was gone and came back, but he was with the team a lot last year during his rehab and then came back and practiced at the end. Like, this isn't a getting to know each other thing anymore. The communication between Rob Saleh and Aaron Rodgers on whether or not he's going to play in the preseason has to happen between those two guys, not to the media via your media communication guy, the quarterback.
You know, but again, you know, so I guess Rich Cimini asked Aaron Rodgers whether or not, you know, he told. I don't know how he asked the question. I got to have Jerry play it again, but it was the way that Aaron answered the question.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not like I went to Rob Saleh and said, I don't want to play.
Yeah, yeah, right. It was news to me, he said.
Yeah, okay.
It was news to me that I found out yesterday when Eric sent me that.
But,
Thanks,
but I don't believe that Rich Cimini was asking him, you know, do you want, I guess, do you want to play or you don't want to play? I mean, it's so idiotic. The whole thing is idiotic.
Yeah.
And it's, and we end up getting caught up in these conversations when none of it matters. I personally would like to have played if I were coming off of an injury. I'd like to get out there. I'd like to get the feel of the game, because you can't get that feel like on the practice field. You don't get the feel of the stadium. You don't get the feel of the turf. You don't get the feel of the defense out there with you. And I don't care if you're 41 years old or you're 30 or 21 years old. I mean, you got to be like, you got to feel it. You got to be out there and just to feel it for 10 plays, two series, whatever. But I understand what Rob Saleh is doing. He's doing like what every other coach is doing.
Sure.
I'm not playing my starters. You know, you would think Caleb Williams would play tonight. At least 10 plays. Put him out there.
I know. And for entertainment's
sake,
too.
And they're not putting him out there.
I know. That's frustrating. Well, I mean, hopefully he'll play in some. He has to play in other preseason
games.
And
you want to know something? Like, you could, the coaches could actually talk to each other. You know, if the coaches know each other, hey, look, you know, we're not going to blitz. We're going to play your basic defense. Now, some coaches you can't trust. I've been through that.
Yeah.
But most of the time when you're out there, especially when the young kids are out there, the kids that are like first and second year players, they don't want to get too like technical. They want to see the kid play his position, whatever position it may be.
Yeah, I remember Mitch, it's a similar situation with the Bears and a quarterback. Mitch Trubisky's first preseason game, he was throwing passes all over the place. He looked perfect. And then there were some people saying, listen, this is a dumbed-down offense, a dumbed-down defense. Like, yeah, he made some short throws.
Exactly.
It looked good, but there's a long way to go.
I still think guys should be out there. I'm not saying playing more than, you know, 10, 15 plays, but guys should be out there to get the feel of it. That's what it's all about. Like, this, the practice thing is great, and they work hard in practice. One practice a day, about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
They do it in the morning because it's cooler, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get the feel on the field.
And another thing I'm curious about, I know that when you're the GM or the head coach or, you know, someone like a Pat Hanlon who works for the Giants, that you'll have somebody basically put together stuff that's being said about the organization and the media, and somebody deals with that stuff. But Aaron Rodgers getting sent an article about that, like, is that, like, what else is he getting sent? You know what I'm saying?
I'm just trying to think, like, so after our 88 Super Bowl season,
yeah,
I had a shoulder issue that whole off season.
Right.
And I remember coming back in the 89 season, I think I played in all the preseason games. I think I believe I told Sam Weiss, like, hey, I want to play. I got to get out there.
Yeah.
Right. And if that were me today, I would not even see the field until probably opening game.
Probably, yeah.
Which I would hate.
But Sam Weiss would probably tell you himself, and whoever your media relations guy would send you a newspaper article.
We had a media relations guy who was a very nice guy. His name was Al Haim. He's no longer with us. And it was just him. There was nobody else.
Nobody else. Just him.
And then, yeah, and he'd sometimes disappear, and then we'd be left to our own devices when it came to that. But it's very interesting.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers gets sent every article that has his name in it in local media?
It used to be, when I played for the Jets, we'd get there, we'd have all the articles about all any football articles that were in local papers at the time, because there was no internet. It wasn't invented yet.
Mm-hmm. By Al Gore.
Right. So they used to actually copy the articles, and then you'd have a whole like stack of papers that were, you know, stapled together. And
sure.
You could read about everything that's been written.
Okay.
I mean, there's no reason to hide it, especially today with social media.
Yeah. You know what? That's interesting. I mean, that's sort of, I mean, there's not comments that you were seeing from crazy people that really want to drag you down. But that was sort of the first aggregation. It was social media on paper.
Yes, kinda. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what it was. Like, everything was aggregated there for you to go and see what everybody was saying about you.
I used to tell when Vinny Testaverde became the quarterback of the Jets, I remember calling him and saying, like, the biggest problem that I had when I was here, it was, well, it was this radio station and what was being said at the time.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me because I didn't really hear it. It would be friends of mine who heard it. And then would come to me.
And then sometimes not translate it properly.
You know, those idiots said about you. They, right. This idiot said this. I'm like, I don't really care. It doesn't matter. I mean, I work with those guys.
Yeah.
So I don't care.
No, I know.
They have a job to do. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like now with the social media stuff, it's crazy.
I'd love to see how Aaron Rodgers processes the stuff. Because like there's many times that he's fought back on McAfee saying, this person said this, that person said that, and you know I don't answer their texts. And he's fought back with things. But I wonder, is he consuming all of it?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, that's a lot.
I can't remember, since he has gotten here, think about when the trade went down.
Yeah.
He got here. And then, you know, that game was on 9/11. He ran out with the flag and everything.
Yeah, of course.
He has been treated like a conquering hero here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it is like kid gloves. And, you know, sooner or later, it's got to happen on the field.
I know. And they tried to tell us or show us that they were going to treat him differently this year. Like he didn't show up and it's an unexcused absence and we're going to fine him, when they already had those conversations about how they knew he wasn't going to be there. The, hey, we're going to hire somebody above Nate Hackett so Aaron Rodgers doesn't essentially have full reign over everything. We just didn't hire Nate Hackett because he was friendly with Aaron Rodgers when they did to get Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, I just, they've tried to show you that he's not in control, but he's in control and he has to be. That's the thing. He has to be. For this team to be good, he has to be controlling it. Because I certainly don't trust the head coach.
Well, I don't know. It's just a weird, the whole kind of communication thing is strange. Because the Jets knew that Aaron Rodgers was not going to be there for minicamp. They knew it.
Yeah, right. But they made a thing to show us.
Rob Saleh said it's unexcused.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to saying, look, Aaron's been here. And he came back and tried to fix it. But it was too late.
There's too many he tried to come back and fix it with Rob Saleh in his press conference.
But he did try to come back and fix it. I think he said that Aaron had been here through all of OTAs, but he never truly said, we knew he was not going to be here. Did he ever say that?
No, I don't think so.
But I know for a fact that they knew he was not going to be here for that mini camp.
Right. And that is a yes.
And he told them that he was not going to be there for that minicamp.
And he came back and told everybody that he told them. That's why he was a little surprised when those stories came out.
But at the end of the day, none of it matters. What matters now is just whether or not he can stay on the field and lead the Jets to victory.
Right.
Because, yes. Man, this feels a lot like last year, the offseason last year. All the pomp and circumstance, all the confidence.
Like I mean, I know there's confidence, and I know that Jet fans are excited, and if he stays healthy, but it is different now after, because last year was a mess.
But if you sit there and you watch him in practice and you watch him throw, it's awe-inspiring.
I can't wait to see it for, you know, a few games, the very least.
It's just,
I've seen him beat the Vikings 10 million times. It's frustrating. He's great. One of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen.
I think you said it yesterday, the best. Stand in there. Just don't run around. Just get rid of the football like Tom Brady did for all those years, Peyton Manning did for all those years, and keep yourself upright and healthy.
I mean, the great ones know how to adjust. The great ones know, like, Peyton Manning couldn't be Peyton Manning of 2004 when he was with the Broncos.
No, he couldn't.
And he figured out a way to win and inspire and do the things he needed to do. Aaron Rodgers may find out through the course of this year that he can't do the same things he did even 3 or 4 years ago, especially coming off an Achilles.
And then in this league at his age, I thought you said it perfectly yesterday, and I was thinking more and more about it. The way that Tom Brady ended up playing the last 4 or 5 years of his career. Well, Tom Brady never ran anyway. I mean, very rarely. But when you're in that pocket and you know where you're going with that ball and you're as accurate as Tom was, that's who Aaron Rodgers should be. And you've taken away a little bit of his freedom to, you know, create. But again, like we saw what happened last year, he was trying to create and he ended up getting hurt.
Yeah. Where you, as we pointed out many times on that play, could have gotten rid of the ball. Wasn't a guaranteed completion, but
that's not the offensive line's fault. And then there was a whole discussion whether or not you should be cutting or not cutting. Well, you get a 3-step drop, you got to throw. Can't hold on to it. I mean, I've been in this situation, got my ass kicked holding on to it.
Yeah.
And I remember Max Montoya one time laying on the ground because he went to go cut the nose tackle or the defensive tackle, whatever it was. And I was laying on the ground with the guy on top of me, and our faces were facing each other, and I could read his lips and hear him saying, "Throw the MFing ball."
That's great.
That was like my second year, and I was like, "Yes, I know, I know." So yeah, it was. Sometimes it's our fault; it's not the offensive line's fault.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's been fun watching Michael Phelps do some Olympic commentary, especially when it comes to swimming, as he is not hiding who he's rooting for. That's exactly what we want to see, you know, watching Team USA compete.
He's great. He's really been a breath of fresh air. You know, him and Snoop Dogg, for that matter. You know, Snoop has been hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it really, truly is amazing where Snoop came from, because, you know, I was in high school and a little younger when Snoop burst onto the scenes, and he, you know, the Gin and Juice video, and then, you know, Murder Was the Case that they gave me and all that stuff. Now to this
mainstream kind of funny take on a little bit of everything.
Friends with Martha Stewart.
Right.
It's incredible.
He's figured out to keep himself relevant, that's for sure.
And I saw Dog yesterday say that Mike Tirico ghosted him on an interview after his Olympic.
I tried to cut that up. Oh, yeah. My God.
It's too long.
It went on and on and on. Yes.
Yeah, so
Mike didn't call in. Why?
Well, a Dog believes it's because of his Olympics criticism.
Well, and what's the Olympics criticism? The tennis thing, or?
That coupled with, I guess he was saying that he thought it was laughable that they were putting the opening ceremony in IMAX theaters, and I don't know.
He mocked some of what NBC was doing. That's all.
Yeah, but by the way, again, NBC has taken the world feed, and NBC wanted people to go see the opening, which was a 4-hour TV show, by the way, down the Seine River. And, you know, who knew that it was going to turn out the way that it was going to turn out?
Like, NBC had no, involved.
But NBC had no say in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pick up that cloche. Oh, and there's the Blue Man.
There he is, the Blue Man.
The Blue Man.
Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
It was Blue Man Group, or is that, what is that?
No. Just a guy surrounded by fruits and vegetables singing a song.
Jiu-jitsu instructor.
That's actually him saying that correctly, wasn't it? Wow.
Well, it's jiu-jitsu.
Oh, what did he say?
To a jazook instructor. How you pronounce it?
A jazook.
The jitsu instructor.
The jitsu. You know, the jitsu. The jizuksu. All right, Jerry, what's happening over there?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Flag and Anthem, real close for real life. You wanted to hear how this question was posed to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, please. That'd
be
great.
It was very basic.
Where do you stand on playing in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, that's Robert's decision. I've never told him I don't want to play in the preseason.
All right, and that's when he went on to say how they used to play in the preseason, and here is the whole thing with Eric Gelfand?
Gelfand.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't have any restrictions. I'm doing keepers, rollouts. So it was news to me yesterday when he said I wasn't going to play in the first two. Eric sent me that. Thank you.
So the interesting thing about it, he is doing rollouts. He's doing everything. You can see all the the highlights of the fundamental drills and everything that he's doing. The one thing that's missing out of all of that is the intensity of the actual game itself.
Yeah,
because you're in practice. Your body is still relaxed. You're relaxed. You know you're not going to get hit.
But even after all his experience, like he can't just pop in there and be like, all right, this is the speed of the game. Like, I mean, I know he hasn't played in essentially 2 years, but he's been in the NFL for a long time.
Dude, I'm just telling you, it's just, I mean, I don't know. I didn't have that ability.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. I told you his arm talent is ridiculous, but I just always felt like I had to be out there. I had to feel it. I had to feel like what it was like to get a real pass rush, to really get hit. Even in preseason, they're trying to hit you.
Yeah.
That's what Mahomes said last year. You just want to get out there and get hit for the first time to kind of shake the rust off.
Exactly.
Here was Rob Saleh talking about what he means in terms of his play. It's more than just throwing the football. It's what he means to everybody on the field.
He's a coach on the field. I mean, there's... I've heard stories of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, not to compare them, but it's the same thing. The expectation and the standard is high. As a quarterback, he's trying to operate at a certain level of efficiency, which means people around him need to be efficient at the same level.
So maybe that's why him and Garrett Wilson were having a nice chat, and he says Rodgers himself got to be on the same page with the kid.
This offense is about spacing, timing, and rhythm, and you know we need him first and foremost to get those little details down. But there's so many other things, like you see in the red zone, there's a lot of freedom for him to run his route based on whatever steps he feels like he's in the open, easiest.
And so that's the Devontae Adams stuff that he had
when
he was in Green Bay. So they would get inside the 20, they'd see something, and they would do it on their own. They may have a run play call, but he was going to get the ball off so quickly because they saw Devontae one-on-one that, you know, they would play the game amongst themselves, and they would make... 90% of the time when they were throwing it to Devontae, it was completed.
Got to be able to see the same thing.
Yes.
Now, he was on with, and I literally just started watching this. He was on with Kay Adams yesterday. Very free and easy, as you can imagine. And it's a little long, but here he is on the exchange with Wilson. Says it in a different way, for sure.
It's a lot of bullshit. You know that. Come on. Like, there's always stories to be made up. Listen, I also, you know, and I talked to G about this. There's appearance and there's the reality. What it appears to be can be taken, you can run with it. The reality was, you can't really tell because I watched the video, like the second conversation, we're kind of laughing at each other. I'm teasing him. You know, he's like, you know, kind of like the little brother's getting teased.
And then fighting.
Thank God for drugs.
That's interesting you said that. He did say he puts mushrooms in his coffee.
Yeah, that's a thing now.
I guess so, to kind of calm you down or something like that.
Yeah, I think Phil Mickelson does that now, too.
Is that his blend?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a micro-dosing of mushrooms that you're allowed to do. I don't know. I have no clue. I just know that that's a thing.
Apparently that's a thing, and it's a thing for him as well.
By the way, BT popped in.
Yeah, what was that?
He popped in and did like a, hey, I'm here. He's peacocking after yesterday's Cashman interview.
That's okay. What
he's
doing.
And I don't blame him. I mean, he got some good juice out of that interview. They were on in the afternoons.
Think
yesterday.
About this. In the span of a week, he got David Wells to tell him he's a yes man and Brian Cashman to tell him he needs to be drug tested.
Yeah.
Give me a big fat joint and we'll all smoke you.
Which is why he's walking around peacocking.
That's pretty good.
He's feeling himself. He's smelling himself.
That's okay. Yeah.
He's smelling himself?
Yeah. Smell yourself.
Smell yourself.
That's get up!
Yeah, that was a Larry Foote thing. Larry Foote, the former, he's actually a coach now with the Buccaneers. But he, when he was at Pittsburgh Steelers, he used to have him on. He's like, you know, we got too many of these young guys smelling themselves. I was like, what does that mean? You know, like feeling themselves, but worse.
I was like, okay. I never heard that one before. Yeah, that's funny. No. Here was one from Garrett Wilson, just in terms of being better off with Aaron playing as opposed to last year where he was just on the sideline.
I think we all have, you know, a better understanding of that leading up to the season. So we got to see it. You got to feel the practices without it, with once he was injured, and maybe how the practice didn't feel as, you know, detailed because of that.
So the intensity was gone, and the right? The attention to detail was gone.
We'll see.
It was different. Tonight in Canton, the preseason begins. You got the Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Texans. Of course, we talked yesterday or the day before. I remember DJ Moore getting his big four-year extension with Chicago. Here he was with the media yesterday. Now, it's funny because what you hear isn't what it appears, which is why I let this go a little bit longer than normal. His first reaction to being dealt to the Bears.
When I first got the call, I was like, oh, but then I was just like, yeah, new beginnings, you know, new everything. So I just took it on with a head full of steam with my family, and we was all just bored in. Once we got here, it was no looking back.
The part because you didn't
know. No, because let me get this. Because we had just moved into a house, so it was like, dang, we got traded.
But at first when you hear that, because the Bears haven't been good, I think you think the same thing. Like, I got to go to the Bears.
Yeah.
Although not where he came from was great, but still.
Well, that's probably what he meant, and then realized that when he got a follow-up question, let me back out of this.
Maybe. That could be true. Here is what he sees from the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams so far.
Sue, just how you handle our defense. You know, he dice them up. They show something new at him. He go around asking them questions on how he could be better with it. And I know he takes everything in one ear, and it just stays there. And then you go out there and carve him up, like, probably the next two plays. And yeah, it's just amazing to watch.
Well, you won't see him tonight. The ones will not play, but should be interesting to see what he turns out to be. To baseball now, the Yankees beat the Phillies 6-5. They've won five straight. One guy who's gotten a lot of criticism of late is Clay Holmes, as we know. Well, he did go out there and nail down the save.
Yeah, obviously yesterday, once they tied the game up, I knew if I could just keep things there that, you know, we had the guys to finish that game off and win. And nice to come back out today after being picked up last night and securing, you know, this win and getting the sweep here today.
And in the, I think it was the eighth inning, the newest of the Yankees, Mark Leiter went out there, got himself in trouble and got himself out of trouble to keep the game where it was. You had DJ LeMahieu, the grand slam. Drove in six. One guy that's thrilled for him is the winning pitcher, Nestor Cortes.
It seems like most of the time that we win, it's either Soto or Judge performing, but having guys like Deej, having guys like Jazz, and having guys in this clubhouse giving good at-bats and putting up good swings and contributing to this win was huge for us.
Huge for us, yes. I mentioned Jazz there. You ever wonder what players think about other players?
Yeah, of course.
Like, who's good, who's not.
Yeah, who's
like,
overrated.
Who's at the top of their game.
He's underrated.
Yeah. So Bleacher Report found Jazz Chisholm pregame and was asking them about great players by category. Here were his answers. I don't think there's many surprises here.
All right, Jazz, build me your perfect player. Contact.
Let's go, Luis Arias.
Power.
Aaron Judge.
Speed.
Me.
Fielding.
What position? Playing right now?
Current players, but any position.
Love current players. Let's go with Lindor.
And lastly, arm.
Let's go with Hunter Renfro.
How about that?
All right, good.
How
for
about
him?
That?
He's dialed in, as they
say. Yeah, paying attention.
Yes. He's dialed in. Brian Cashman was on with BT and Sal in the afternoon on The Fan, and I don't know which one asked the question, but they asked him what the biggest weakness on the team is.
I wouldn't say we have a weakness. I think we got a lot of strengths. It's just is the collection good enough? I think we have a really strong pitching unit. I think we have a really strong offensive unit.
And this was, I think, what you were talking about earlier about the trade deadline and Juan Soto and thinking long term here.
We go to market, whether you believe it or not, trying to do the best we can. I will say, I will acknowledge that if there was an import that we were able to pull off with huge money attached going forward, that could have compromised, you know, our play on any free agent at a high level in the wintertime.
That what you were talking about?
Yes.
So
I'd like the fact that he admitted that. We are paying attention to finances. We want to sign guys this offseason.
And that's the other reason why Chisholm makes a lot of sense for them. because of his salary and his control.
Yep. Damn right.
So yeah. that's a great move by Brian Cashman for that reason alone. Like, you've already gotten something out of him. He's already contributed at a high level.
Executive of the year.
He's played a number of different positions. He can steal bases, which is something the Yankees don't do, and he already has done that.
First game.
Plus, his salary fits into the structure of the long term thinking of the team.
Not
but
too
maybe
bad.
Maybe he does have the right.
Brian Cashman has not earned the right
to rebuild this
team.
Well,
maybe he has.
Yankees will be home for the Blue Jays tomorrow. As for the Mets, they lost to the Twins. They head out now for a 10-game road trip. This is a rough month. They got a lot of games on the West Coast and only a week home for the most part. Here's Brandon Nimmo.
I'm eager to see, you know, how the guys respond. I think we're going to take this in stride, and I've been really proud of the way the guys have battled so far.
But look at that schedule. Like, it's on CBS Sports Network right now. That's rough. Just in turn, I know they fly privately, and I know they're in nice hotels.
They got personal chefs.
I understand all of that.
They
got that nine-game stretch there where they have the Orioles, the Padres, and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Is that nine or is that 10?
No, it's 10.
By the time they get the White Sox at the end of the month, the White Sox should be relegated to AAA league.
I mean, you have the A's, Colorado, and the White Sox in there. Angels in there.
I just mean you got a lot of games out west. You got to fly back to St. Louis in between.
Yeah, no, all right. The end of the month, though, starting in the 19th, the 3 Orioles, 4 Padres, and then 3 Arizona.
Make or break month.
That's it right there.
That is it.
Rubber meets the road.
Is that what you're saying?
Metal meets the meat.
Okay. Litmus test.
Here is Luis Severino. Knows going to be a couple of tough weeks coming up.
I mean, this is the longest road trip I've ever seen. We got like 10 games out there. So, I mean, it's really tough for us. But, I mean, this is what we get paid for, you know, to go out there and play every day.
That was odd. They've had 10-game road trips before. Mm. Not the longest one
they've ever seen. They're going to California. They're going to find the Angels.
Yeah, yes. It is odd, though, when it's the makeup game that they have to then leave to go to St. Louis and then go back to Colorado. But, yes, so be it. It's the way it goes. And finally, on the Nightcap podcast, you know, I know Al and I have talked about this on the podcast often. If you put even a U.S. map in front of us, it would be very difficult to point out the states. So Chad and Shannon... We're talking geography, and it wasn't even U.S. geography. Pretty impressive, actually.
I know the globe by heart.
I'm going to give you an easy one, Ocho. Ukraine.
Boy, I can't see nothing but these goddamn glasses, boy. Hey, I got it right here, baby. Right below, what'd that say? Belar?
Belarus.
Right above the Black Sea.
You know what? Estonia.
Oh, yeah, I know Estonia at. Hey, but my lighting, I can't see nothing, huh?
Once he figures out his lighting.
Man, where the hell is Estonia at? Okay, I found it. It's right there by Latvia.
Ocho, you doing good.
I took geography. Geography 300, man, at Yale. Give me another one. That Yale education, don't play.
Moldova.
Moldova?
Yep.
Where the hell is Moldova?
Oh, found it.
Damn. Where is that?
It's under Ukraine.
I got to turn my globe back around.
Hold on a second.
Quetar.
Quetar, whatever it's called. Nobody cares. Quetar, we'll live. But they've got a globe and it has the names on it.
I don't know if it does or it doesn't.
No, it definitely does. Because they're like, where is it?
Well, he's still pointing to it and found it. Oh, that's right. Because what's that? Belar?
Yeah, he's Belar. Right. He's like, it's right under here. It's right under Latvia. Like, there's no way he knows where they are when they don't have, you know.
Fair. I didn't think of that. That's a very good point.
I mean, that would be impressive.
Baku. Yes.
Baku. Yes.
I do like his reference to going to Yale, too.
Yeah. Yes, that was. I took geography. By the way, I was laughing here. It says, does Aaron Rodgers and Rob Saleh have a power struggle? Was the headline I saw on one of the TVs.
Uh-huh.
It's like saying, does Boomer Esiason and Al Dukes have a power struggle? Stop. No power struggle. We know who's winning that argument every time.
Pretty much.
All right, Jerry, thank you. We'll see you next hour. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Built Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, since we were doing the Olympic thing, we were talking about the Olympics, I remembered, I totally forgot about this, that back in 2004 when the Olympics were in Athens.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Right. So a big sponsor at that time was Samsung.
Okay.
And they had the Olympic torch come through New York City.
Wow.
And I got a chance to run with it.
Wow. Look at it. You got it here today.
Right. So each one of us who did run with it actually was able to keep their torch as a memento.
Oh, that's cool. So you went and you'd light somebody else's and they
right.
light
yours. I think I did it with, I want to say... Oh, I'm trying to think who's I did it with.
Well, I see a picture. You found a picture on Getty Images.
I found a picture of me running with it. Yeah. But what I remember that day running with it was how sick I was. I had like a stomach virus that day.
Oh, God.
And I had to make it look like I was really into it and obviously very happy.
How far did you have to run?
couple blocks.
Okay. So it wasn't that bad.
Thank God it wasn't that much farther. So they lined up a whole group of people to do it, and it was fun to be a part of, for sure.
Oof, I can't even imagine. Were you worried that you were gonna throw up or
no, I think I feel like it was Leslie Visser who I lit her torch.
Okay.
So and then she ran and obviously lit somebody else's torch. There you go.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't light that in here, can you?
No, I don't even, you know, I wonder if there's enough. I turned on the...
Oh, it's like a propane thing?
Oh, you can hear it, yeah.
So there's still some gas
in there. Yeah, there's still some gas.
20 years later.
I heard that through the headphones.
Right, 20 years later.
Wow. Yeah, we could definitely light that thing.
You want to, maybe I can get the zoo to run with it down Hudson Street.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Hey, listen, the Olympics are in business right now, and I do actually, I have a New York Post article here from 04, I guess.
Yes.
And they don't have the breakdown of who handed it off to who.
Right.
But they got a couple of names here of people that were on the route. I don't know if there's any more, but they have Sarah Hughes, who was an Olympic skater.
Yes, of course, yes, from
Long Island.
Yep. Bob Bowman, I believe is how you pronounce his name. It's Bamon, who was a jumper, and I don't know what this is, but it just says Komaneki. I don't know if that was somebody.
Yes.
But then it also lists former Jets quarterback Boomer Esiason, Knicks center Dikembe Mutombo, and rap star Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Man, glad you... Why is it your name always ends up in some article?
something you don't want it to be in.
I know.
P. Diddy Combs and Boomer Esiason. All the Google alerts start going crazy.
Well, I told you I ran into P. Diddy one morning when I was coming out of a hotel, coming to work here, staying in the city. And he was going into the hotel when I was leaving to go to work.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I didn't know how to say, hey, Sean, hey, P. I didn't know what to call him.
Well.
It was very awkward.
Yeah, you call him in deep doo-doo right now.
Yeah.
That's what you would call him. We should get Zoo, I think, to take his shirt off and to run down Hudson Street with the Olympic torch lit. I think that would be great.
Or to be fair, maybe down the other street now that our building is on the other side.
Yeah, that's true. Wouldn't be as many people over there, though, you know?
It's true. Not as much traffic.
And not as much action on the other side of the building. Well, that's cool. Where do you keep that, something like that?
This?
Yeah.
I had it in my office.
Oh really?
Yeah.
You had it in here. And you got so much stuff that people have given. Now, that's a special thing.
Yeah.
But you've got so much stuff that people give you over the years. What do you do with all the stuff?
I don't know.
I know you have, a basement, and you got a warehouse, but you got a lot of stuff.
I got a warehouse, yes.
You do. You got a BEF warehouse.
Yeah, I told Richie, I said, let's have a yard sale.
Yeah, and have it go to the foundation, right?
Yeah, whatever.
There's got to be, I can't even imagine what's in that thing.
Yes.
Don't even know what's in there.
I don't, but they do complain.
Who complains?
Richie, Bob, the people who work there.
Oh, the guy? Oh, really?
Yeah,
about all your stuff?
How much crap you're bringing in? I mean, what are you doing now? what are we doing?
You need a place for the stuff.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff.
It's one of those things where it's stuff you don't want in your primary residence, but it's stuff you don't want to throw out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's awards, there's... different framed photos. There's, a million things.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you can't have all that in your house.
Right. And then, finally, after a while, you just say, hey, man, we got to take all this stuff down and we got to start over.
Right. We got to put new stuff up.
It's like I felt like when I go past your office, you got crap all over the place.
You're right. I do. I mean, and this is what
made me professional. Let's pick it up and let's look right. Let's set the tone.
Well, all right. First of all, I'm not in there a lot. And two, I'm not allowed to hang anything on the wall.
I got a hang. I set up a hang for you.
No, you didn't. Because you scheduled a hang when?
I talked to Martin yesterday, Martin Travers, and I said, Martin, he needs to hang some stuff up on his wall. Marty says, I got it. And
he said he does construction.
I said, do you have any interior design understanding? You can't just hang things. You got to have some sort of understanding of how to hang things.
Yeah, I mean, and I just have stuff that people give me.
There you go.
I actually cleaned that. I cleaned it out not that long ago, like 3 months ago. I cleaned it out, filled it up with new stuff.
Didn't I tell you that when you got this job, this one particular, that you were going to get a lot of stuff?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of stuff.
I got a lot of stuff.
You got a lot of stuff.
I know. I got, what's really good is the Gatorade people brought, you know, Pepsi Company. They brought by some of these energy, Fast Twitch and Gatorade water. So I got some of that in there. That's some stuff. But I could get rid of that stuff because I drink it.
But you have a refrigerator in there, right?
No.
No.
Okay. I drink everything room temperature.
Oh, you do? Okay.
These days, everything. But yeah, and then there's like four or five pictures that are sitting on the wall, sitting on the ground that should be on the wall. And then I try to give away stuff. I did that recently. I went out to the Upside Down over Infinity Sports Radio. I was handing stuff out. Pete Pilotti had like a wheelbarrow filled with stuff he brought home.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff I didn't want.
Yeah. And it's nice though. You know, we get a lot of nice stuff.
Nice stuff. Yeah. Remember the George Carlin bit with stuff?
It was
a great one. It's an all-timer right there.
You take your stuff here and you move your stuff there.
A little bit of stuff.
Over there and then you move your stuff over here.
There's another place for stuff.
Stuff. Your garage is full of stuff.
Yeah.
Your basement's full of stuff. The warehouse is full of stuff. Your office is full of stuff.
Your
car is full of stuff.
It is. God.
And now that you're into golfing, you get more stuff.
That's just true. A lot more stuff.
You got Flag and Anthem stuff?
Yes, all the time, which
you
I love.
Ghost that's, golf stuff. You got
stuff.
You got stuff.
Yeah, that's stuff that
you
I'm not complaining about.
Got ball hammock underwear stuff.
Yeah, I got that too. Yeah. By the way, I saw a couple of pair that were just sitting in your office. I'll take those too.
Okay.
If you're not using them.
Well, they're too small.
Okay, so perfect. Perfect for me. Drop my balls right in those two, too.
Okay. But the point being is, yes, there's a lot of stuff. But this is this torch is something that has a lot of meaning. It is the Olympics.
Yeah, of course. In 2004 in Athens, and it was a whole
Think
big
about
deal.
That, 2004 Athens.
I know. It's huge.
Yeah.
I remember.
I was a part of the Athens Olympics for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. In New York City.
In New York City.
So If we lit that thing in here, you think that the sprinkler system would come on?
I don't think we should go down that route.
I mean, I'm not...
It sounds like there's still gas in it.
Yeah. There is. I could hear that, but I'm just curious. If we just lit this thing, would the sprinkler system go on?
Let's not find out.
How would fire have mixed with everything that was under the plexiglass the other day?
Well, we were about to just burn this whole studio down after we did that.
You know, I was not feeling good yesterday, by the way.
Really? After that whole thing?
Well, that was 2 days
ago. Yeah.
But I yesterday, I did not feel good.
Really? Like in what way?
Just, I felt lethargic. I felt crappy. I thought maybe something was coming on. Today, I feel better.
Okay.
Good. I don't know what it was.
Don't give me something before
I go on
vacation.
I don't know if it was from that spank that was in front of you.
I mean, it probably was. I mean, there was mold underneath there. I was bad breathing.
I was wondering last night. I was like, man, I didn't feel great.
Ugh.
But I feel fine now. I feel pretty good today.
You got cleansed out?
Or something.
Well, it's probably because you went into the control room yesterday, too. And you started smelling those dirty socks. Oh. That got into your lungs.
Chaz Jism.
Well, that, too, was on the desk, of course.
Oof.
I mean, when I go out the loading dock,
yeah.
they got all sorts of... It's probably the worst thing because you see all the construction workers that are wearing the mask because of the dust that they have to deal with.
I hold my breath.
I just walk right through that. Like I'm just like sniffing in asbestos like you wouldn't believe. It's like, hey guys. That's probably what happens to you too. You go out that exit?
Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. It's bad.
See, there's the guy that's scheduled to hang.
Oh, okay.
Marty Mart, there you go.
Oh, he says, I got you, don't worry.
Okay.
He said that yesterday and nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened.
He said that, yes, I got it, don't worry about it, and nothing happened.
Hey, Marty, thumb up or down here. Well, actually, you're giving him a microphone, which is even better. If we lit this Olympic
torch. I'm sorry that when you snapped your fingers, I didn't just do it like instantaneously.
Well, I wouldn't snap fingers. We're talking 24 hours now.
Yeah.
But
and your studio needed cleaning and there were some repairs. I do work and have a family.
No, we understand. We love you, Marty.
I'll take care of it, I promise.
Boomer's got this Olympic torch here. If we lit this thing, it's still got some gas in it. If we lit this thing in the studio, would the sprinkler system go on?
I probably think it would be a bad idea.
I'm not asking if it's a good idea or a bad idea. I just want to know, is there a sprinkler system in the ceiling?
There is a sprinkler system. There's little circular things that are covered. I don't know if there's one in there, but there should be.
Okay.
It probably start the sprinkler system throughout the area.
Oh, that'd be great.
That
oh,
would
be awesome.
New studios.
Yeah, right. We could reduce
new
our
morning
footprint.
Show hosts.
Oh, maybe one. They keep him. That would imagine. Oh, it'd be great for CBS Sports Network. Just sort of just pouring down on us.
You it would be great. Olympic they torch. Watch it and everything.
Oh, yeah, awful announcing. They definitely picked that up.
The Olympic music underneath it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's come back and do that. What do you think? Anybody got a match?
It's the Morning Show.
CBS Sports Network.
You know, since we were doing the Olympic thing, we were talking about the Olympics, I remembered, I totally forgot about this, that back in 2004 when the Olympics were in Athens.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Right. So a big sponsor at that time was Samsung.
Okay.
And they had the Olympic torch come through New York City.
Wow.
And I got a chance to run with it.
Wow, look at it. You got it here today.
Right, so each one of us who did run with it actually was able to keep their torch as a memento.
Oh, that's cool. So you went and you'd light somebody else's and they
right,
light yours.
I think I did it with, I want to say, I'm trying to think who's I did it with.
Well, I see a picture. You found a picture on Getty Images.
I found a picture of me running with it.
Yeah.
But what I remember that day running with it was how sick I was. I had like a stomach virus that day.
Oh, God.
And I had to make it look like I was really into it and obviously very happy.
How far did you have to run?
A couple blocks.
Okay. So it wasn't that bad.
Thank God it wasn't that much farther. So, they lined up a whole group of people to do it. And it was fun to be a part of for sure.
Oof. I can't even imagine. Were you worried that you were going to throw up? Or
no, I feel like it was Leslie Visser who I lit her torch.
Okay.
So, and then she ran and obviously lit somebody else's torch. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't light that in here, can you?
No, I don't even, you know, I wonder if there's enough. I turned on the.
Oh, it's like a propane thing.
Oh, you can hear it. Yeah. So there's still some gas.
Yeah, there's still some gas.
20 years later.
I heard that through the headphones.
Right. 20 years later.
Wow. Yeah, we could definitely light that thing.
You want to? Maybe I can get Zoo to run with it down Hudson Street.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Hey, listen, the Olympics are in business right now. And I do actually, I have a New York Post article here from 04, I guess.
Yes.
And they don't have the breakdown of who handed it off to who.
Right.
But they got a couple of names here of people that were on the route. I don't know if there's any more, but they have Sarah Hughes, who was an Olympic skater.
Yes, of course, yes, from
Long Island.
Yep. Bob Bowman, I believe is how you pronounce his name. It's Bamon, who was a jumper, and I don't know what this is, but it just says Komaneki. I don't know if that was somebody.
Yes.
It also lists former Jets quarterback Boomer Esiason, Nick Center, Dikembe Mutombo, and rap star Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Man. Glad you... Why is it your name always ends up in some article? something you don't want it to be in?
I know.
P. Diddy Combs and Boomer Esiason. All the Google alerts start going crazy.
Well, I told you I ran into P. Diddy one morning when I was coming out of a hotel, coming to work here, staying in the city. And he was going into the hotel when I was leaving to go to work.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I didn't know how to say, hey, Sean, hey, P, I didn't know what to call him.
Well.
It was very awkward.
Yeah, you call him in deep doo-doo right now.
Yeah.
That's what you would call him. Yeah, we should get Zoo, I think, to take his shirt off and to run down Hudson Street with the Olympic torch lit. I think that would be great.
Or to be fair, maybe down the other street now that our building is on the other side.
Yeah, that's true. Wouldn't be as many people over there, though, you know?
It's true. Not as much traffic.
And not as much action on the other side of the building. Well, that's cool. Where do you keep that, something like that?
This?
Yeah.
I had it in my office.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You had it in here. And you got so much stuff that people have given. Now, that's a special thing.
Yeah.
But you've got so much stuff that people give you over the years. What do you do with all the stuff?
I don't know.
I know you have, a basement, and you got a warehouse. But you got a lot of stuff.
I got a warehouse, yes.
You do. You got a BEF warehouse.
Yeah, I told Richie. I said, let's have a yard sale.
Yeah, and have it go to the foundation, right?
Yeah, whatever.
There's got to be. I mean, I can't even imagine what's in that thing.
Yes,
I mean, you probably don't even know what's in.
I don't. But they do complain.
Who complains?
Richie, Bob, you know, people work
all the
there.
Guy. Oh, really?
Yeah,
how about all your stuff
you're bringing in? I mean, what are you doing now? what are we doing?
You need a place for the stuff.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where it's stuff you don't want in your primary residence, but it's stuff you don't want to throw out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's awards, there's, you know, different framed photos, there's, you know, a million things.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you can't have all that in your house.
Right, and then, you know, finally after a while, you just say, hey, man, we got to take all this stuff down and we got to start over.
Right, we got to put new stuff on.
It's like I felt like when I go past your office... Like you got crap all over the place.
You're right, I do. I mean, and this is what
made me a professional. Let's pick it up and let's look right. Let's set the tone.
Well, all right. First of all, I'm not in there a lot, and two, I'm not allowed to hang anything on the wall.
I got a hang. I set up a hang for you.
No, you didn't. Because you scheduled a hang when?
I talked to Martin yesterday, Martin Travers, and I said, Martin, he needs to hang some stuff up on his wall. Marty says, I got it. And
he
I
said he does construction.
I said, do you have any interior design understanding? As
right.
You can't just hang things. You got to have some sort of understanding of how to hang things.
Yeah, I mean, and I just have stuff that people give me.
There
and
you
I
go.
I actually cleaned that. I cleaned it out not that long ago, like 3 months ago. I cleaned it out, filled it up with new stuff.
Didn't I tell you that when you got this job, this one particular, that you were going to get a lot of stuff?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of stuff.
I got a lot of stuff.
You got a lot of stuff.
I know. I got, you know, what's really good is the Gatorade people brought, you know, Pepsi Company. They brought by some of these energy, fast twitch and Gatorade water. So I got some of that in there. That's some stuff. But I could get rid of that stuff because I drink it.
But you have a refrigerator in there, right?
No.
No. Nope.
Okay. I drink everything room temperature.
Oh, you do? Okay.
These days, everything. But yeah, and then there's like four or five pictures that are sitting on the wall, sitting on the ground that should be on the wall. And then I try to give away stuff. I did that recently. I went out to the Upside Down over Infinity Sports Radio. I was handing stuff out. Pete Pilotti had like a wheelbarrow filled with stuff he brought home.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff I didn't want.
Yeah. And it's nice, though. You know, we get a lot of nice stuff.
Nice stuff. Yeah. Remember the George Carlin bit with stuff.
It's
a great one. It's an all-timer
right
there.
You take your stuff here and you move your stuff there.
A little bit of stuff
over there, and then you move your stuff over here.
Another place for stuff.
Your garage is full of stuff.
Yeah.
Your basement's full of stuff. Warehouse is full of stuff. Your office is full of stuff.
Man,
Your car is full of stuff.
It is. God.
And now that you're into golfing, you get more stuff.
That's just true. A lot more stuff.
You got Flag and Anthem stuff?
Yes, all the time, which
you
I love.
Ghost that's, golf stuff. You
that's
got
stuff.
You got stuff.
Yeah, that's stuff that I'm not
ball,
complaining
hammock,
about.
Hammock underwear stuff?
Yeah, I got that too. Yeah. By the way, I saw a couple of pair that were just sitting in your office. I'll take those too.
Okay.
If you're not using them.
Well, they're too small.
Okay, so perfect. Perfect for me. Drop my balls right in those two too.
Okay. but the point being is, yes, there's a lot of stuff. But this is this torch is something that has a lot of meaning. It is the Olympics.
Yeah, of course. In 2004 in Athens, and it was a whole
Think
big
about
deal.
That, 2004 Athens.
I know, it's huge.
Yeah.
I remember.
I was a part of the Athens Olympics for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. In New York City.
In New York City.
So if we lit that thing in here, you think that the sprinkler system would come on?
I don't think we should go down that route.
I mean, I'm not...
It sounds like there's still gas in it.
Yeah. There is. I could hear that, but I'm just curious. If we just lit this thing, would the sprinkler system go on?
Let's not find out.
How would fire have mixed with everything that was under the plexiglass the other day?
Well, we were about to just burn this whole studio down after we
did that. I was not feeling good yesterday, by the way.
Really? After that whole thing?
Well, that was 2 days
ago. Yeah.
But I yesterday, I did not feel good.
Really? Like in what way?
Just, I felt lethargic. I felt crappy. I thought maybe something was coming on. Today, I feel better.
Okay. Good.
I don't know what it was.
Don't give me something before
I don't
I
know
go
if it
vacation.
Was from that spank that was in front of you.
I mean, it probably was. I mean, there was mold underneath there. I was bad breathing.
I was wondering last night. I was like, man, I didn't feel great.
Ugh.
But I feel fine now. I feel pretty good today.
You got cleansed out?
Or something.
You know, it's probably because you went into the control room yesterday, too. And you started smelling those dirty socks. Oh. That got into your lungs.
Chaz Jism.
Well, that, too, was on the desk, of course.
Oof.
I mean, when I go out the loading dock,
yeah.
they got all sorts of... it's probably the worst thing because you see all the construction workers that are wearing the mask because of the dust that they have to deal with.
I hold my breath.
I just walk right through that. Like, I'm just, like, sniffing in asbestos like you wouldn't believe. It's like, hey, guys. That's probably what happens to you, too. You go out that exit?
Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. It's bad.
See, there's the guy that's scheduled to hang.
Oh, okay.
Mart, there you go.
Oh, he says, I got you. Don't worry.
Okay.
He said that yesterday, and nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened.
He said that, yes, I got it. Don't worry about it, and nothing happened.
Hey, Marty, a hand, thumb up or down here. Well, actually, you're giving him a microphone, which is even better. If we lit this Olympic
torch. I'm sorry that when you snap your fingers, I didn't just do it like instantaneously.
Well, I wouldn't snap fingers. We're talking 24 hours now.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and your studio needed cleaning and there were some repairs. I do work and have a family.
No, we understand. We love you, Marty.
I'll take care of it, I promise.
Boomer's got this Olympic torch here. If we lit this thing, it's still got some gas in it. If we lit this thing in the studio, would the sprinkler system go on?
I probably think it would be a bad idea.
I'm not asking if it's a good idea or a bad idea. I just want to know, is there a sprinkler system in the ceiling?
There is a sprinkler system. There's little circular things that are covered. I don't know if there's one in there, but there should be.
Okay.
It probably start the sprinkler system throughout the area.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be awesome.
New studios.
Yeah, right. We could reduce
new morning show hosts.
Oh, maybe one. They'd keep him. That would imagine. Oh, it'd be great for CBS Sports Network. You just saw it just pouring down on us.
You hold the Olympic torch. They could watch it and everything.
Oh, yeah, awful announcing. Definitely picked that up. They could
put the Olympic music underneath it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's come back and do that. What do you think? Anybody got a match?